Mentioned the opening of school. I do want you to pray. We have some issues that we have to take care of, and some of them I don't know how we're going to take care of it. We're going to have two staff members that's going to be out for 6 weeks with surgeries, and so just found that out this week, and so it's sort of in a upheaval right now, those 6 weeks, and we're a week and a half away from starting. I said, "Oh, this is good timing." But everything will work out. The Lord has never failed us. And I don't expect Him to do that this time. And I just hope He tells me soon how to handle this and who can take care of these things. Because school's going to start on the 11th. Regardless of who's here and who's not here, we've got to start. And so there will be one that's not here and one that will be leaving in 2 weeks. And so a little complicated, but it'll work out. And you pray with me about that and pray the Lord will work it out. It's amazing how the Lord can work out difficulties and how quickly He can do that. And but I think He expects us to do our part and see what we can do and have Him help us and guide us. And so that is before us. And so do pray with me about that need. If you would tonight, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Titus. In the New Testament, it's a very small book. It only has three chapters. And you only have 46 verses in all of it. And so it's a small book. But my goodness, it has a lot within the verses that we find in Titus. Right after 2 Timothy, you have Titus. And let's look in chapter number 1. And we'll just read the first four or five verses. And not going to be particularly dealing with Titus, the chapter, or the verses, but I want to deal with Titus, the person. The man that God used to write these words down. And so sort of a character study. The Bible says here in verse number 1, Titus chapter 1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifest His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. We'll stop off reading there. We could go ahead and read, because this, again, is a personal letter that the Apostle Paul writes to a young man in the ministry. We have 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, that are letters to a young preacher. Then we have Titus, another personal letter. That was much more than just a letter. It was the inspired Word of God, and it's found its way into the canon of the Scripture. And so we know that it was Holy Spirit given and inspired. And these three books are classified or are called the pastoral epistles. The reason being is because they're dealing with needs of the churches. And the Apostle Paul, of course, is the great preacher, the great missionary that was sent out from the church of Antioch. He went out into all the world that known of that day preaching the gospel. Everywhere he went, churches were established. Everywhere he went, the gospel was preached. Most everywhere he went, he met the opposition from the wicked one. But he's been very faithful and has given the gospel to the Gentiles. And so now he writes to Timothy. And he writes to Titus. He writes Timothy two letters. We have it 1st and 2nd Timothy. Then he writes Titus, these three chapters that we have the division. Paul didn't number them with the numbers we have. He just wrote the letter. And so you could read the whole letter and get the whole gist of his message. And all three of these letters are from an old man. The Apostle Paul now has pretty well run his course, and he has given his life. And he is at the close of his ministry as he writes to these three young preachers, and he is concerned about his successors. He's concerned about those that are following after him. He's concerned about the churches that he has left as he travels, of what's going to take place. Because Paul knows the adversary is alive and he's well. Paul realizes that the devil wants to do everything possible to destroy churches and to destroy preachers, especially young preachers. And these men that he writes to, these letters, are concerning things that were crucial for them. And since it's in our text and in our Bible, it's crucial for us. And as he writes these epistles that deal with certain issues in the local church, just as it worked for Timothy and Titus, it will work for us. And Titus is written by the Apostle Paul. We understand that. In the first verse it says, Paul, a servant of God, apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness and hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie, promised before the world began. And the sentence goes on and on and on. You see, there's no period there. And so Paul is introducing himself as the writer of this. It's from Paul. And he classifies himself as a servant of God. I don't know of a better classification that could ever be given to someone than to be called a servant of the Lord. It's a bond servant. He's not a servant because he has to serve. He's not under duress that he has to do certain things. But a bond servant is one that serves his master willingly and freely because he loves his master. And that's the servitude that Paul had in his particular life, in his personal life. And so we find here that Titus has this letter, and he is a brother in the faith. The Scripture tells us that Paul has left on the island of Crete to lead the church there on that island, and in his being absent, he leads them and is to give them certain things. He said, "For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order." Now that word "in order" there means put them straight. That means there's a problem. There's some difficulties, and Paul has is now charging Titus that he sets these things in order. The things that are wanting. There are things that are not as they should be. So they're lacking in some areas. And Titus has the job to go and straighten that out and to help them through the preaching of the gospel and the ministry that God has given him. Then he's to ordain elders in those cities that have churches. The elders are nothing more than the what we would call pastors or preachers, evangelists, and is to ordain those that they would go forth. And so these instructional letters that are given to us as the pastoral epistles is very valuable because it has they have so many things that are good for us. These letters are full of the heart of Paul. It's full of the personality of Paul, of how he deals and how he is anxious for these young preachers to be what they ought to be for the Lord, and how that the message is to be given. And so we find here that as he gives these letters, and we're looking at all three of them right now just in general, in Timothy, Paul deals with church organization, how to do things correctly. In Titus, he deals with the role of women in the ministry. In Timothy, 1 Timothy, he reveals Christ as the only mediator between God and man, and he is Jesus Christ. And so these books are full of what we call church doctrine. These books are full of what we base our beliefs upon and what we call the doctrines of the Scripture. 1 Timothy tells us that and encourages believers to make sure they stand firm in the faith. They preserve the faith. It's important that we stand true to the Word of God. It's important that we don't falter. We don't go to the right or the left. But that we preserve those things which have been given to us or have been taught to us by faithful people. To remain firm in the doctrines of the Lord. And of course, 2 Timothy deals with the inspiration of the Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and it's profitable. And so these things are all here in these books. 1 Timothy was written to that young preacher Timothy, who the apostle left at Ephesus to keep and to maintain church order in that area. Titus is written as for the same purpose, to maintain order and set things straight and put things right there in Crete. And so Timothy is encouraged by the Apostle Paul in his responsibility of overseeing the work of the Lord. And I'll tell you what, it's an important task to look over the things of God. It's not something that we do fly by night. It's something I believe we need to be very settled on. And Paul is teaching Timothy and gives them, and Titus, gives them the message of how they are to set things in order. And so Paul encourages Timothy. Paul encourages Timothy to make sure there's no doctrinal error. One of the greatest enemies to the local church is doctrinal error. That's one of the great things that comes in. It creeps in sometimes unaware, and then it'll raise its ugly head after it has done some damage in people's lives. And the era of just doctrinal things that are wrong, sometimes so very very sly, but yet it causes so much damage. And so Paul is concerned about the churches that he started, churches that he was instrumental in bringing together. And I believe anybody that has dealt with starting churches or pastoring a church, you're concerned about what's going to take place later. You're concerned about what happens later on after we are out of the way and somebody else takes over. And so Paul is giving instruction to these to take care of the error that might come in. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, Paul gives Timothy the message here, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come to thee shortly, but if I tarry long," Paul says, "I want to come, but if I don't get there as quick as I want to, or if I don't come, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God." There's a certain way of behaving ourselves in God's house. I don't think it's exclusively how that we act in church or how that we deal in church or sometimes things maybe get out of hand, but he's dealing with that we ought to know how to behave ourselves in the house of God as far as the Scripture is concerned, to follow the direction that God gives us. And then he gives us a very important phrase there concerning the church or the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, I believe that's the central key verse maybe in 1 Timothy, because it identifies the pillar and ground of the truth. It's not just what we think. And we live in a time when the church is ridiculed, the church is mocked and made fun. But the Bible's very clear that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. If you're going to have truth, you got to have a church that has truth. If a person's going to know truth, then we have to have somewhere that teaches truth. Now, I do not believe that a person has to be a particular type of Christian or follow a direct name to be a Christian. I don't think you have to be a Baptist to be a Christian. I know a lot of Baptists that I'm not sure they are. I know some that I'm very doubtful that they have made it to that point yet, even though they name the name. But you don't have to. It's not the church that saves us. It's not the name that makes us a Christian, but it's the doctrine of that church that does. I'll tell you what, I'd rather have my teaching in what I believe is according to the Word of God than what some man might say. Doesn't matter what they call the place. Doesn't matter what name they tack on it. If it's not according to the Word of God, then there is danger of hellfire. There is danger of being lost. If truth is not taught, then there's no way a person can be saved. And so these epistles are very important. Second Timothy. We look at First Timothy a minute. Now, Second Timothy, we find that it is a book that basically is the last words of the Apostle Paul. He's ready to be offered. He says, "My departure is at hand." It's written about 67 A.D. And so Paul is in the Roman prison. He knows life is not going to last too long for him. And so he writes Timothy there in the second book, and he instructs him once again. He says, "Put these in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that strive not about words to no profit, but to subverting of hearers. Study to show thyself approved." So 2 Timothy is dealing with studying what we have that we go forward. Now, Titus, as we read tonight, Paul tells Timothy to avoid vain babblings or discussions or talks that are of no good. And now he tells Timothy to set things in order, those things that are wanting or those things that are lacking in the churches on the island of Crete. And so when we were studying some time back the missionary journeys of Paul, there was a little island down below Turkey that's called Crete. And so here we find that Titus is there, and Paul has left him. He says, "I'm writing this to Titus, my own son, after the common faith." And so he's writing him the instructions here to take those things that are lacking in the churches on that island and just make sure they're taken care of, and to ordain elders in every city. So it tells us that there's more than one church there. On Crete, there's many churches that was a result of the missionary effort of the Apostle Paul, or at least the gospel came to that island of Crete. The scripture really doesn't tell us that Paul ever set foot up on the particular place where Titus is, but the gospel has made its trip there, and Paul is aware of those churches, and this is why he writes to Titus. And he tells him that he needs to set some things in order. Titus 1:5, "For this cause left I thee in Crete." And so we find that Paul has a message for Titus. I'm not going to really look at that message tonight. We may do that a little bit later. But I want to just take a few minutes and notice this man called Titus. He was a faithful servant of the Lord. And sometimes when we read our Bibles, we go through different chapters and even read different books of the Bible. We'll read names, and it really doesn't register with us of who they are. But tonight I want us to look at some things in the Scripture concerning this man, and this young man by the name of Titus. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 13, and we'll notice this verse, that I believe Titus was a very busy individual. "I have found in the work of the Lord that God uses busy people. He does not use folks that are waiting on the sidelines, waiting for a job. He uses people that are already busy. He uses people that sometimes you think, I can't do anything else. And yet the Lord says, I need you to do that." The Lord desires that we be faithful. And I believe the more faithful that we serve Him, the more that He will desire us to be more faithful. And it's a continual process as a believer. But 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul writing to the church of Corinth, "I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence to Macedonia." And so he's telling us here that the reason he didn't find Titus, that he was just not to be found, he was not there, and he was busy doing the ministry, busy doing the work of the Lord. And there's not a better thing to do, there's not a better job to have than to be busy in the work of the Lord. I'm not talking about necessarily being a full-time, quote-unquote, Somebody just, maybe Brother Ronnie said the other day, when you get saved, it's a full-time job. We are to serve the Lord full-time. Now, we put classifications on people, and some preachers say they're bivocational. That means they pastor a church, they work a job. But you know what they are? They're a full-time preacher. They're full-time in the work of the Lord. And the Apostle Paul, I believe I would call him full-time, but when he needed to, when he had to, he would go back to the trade that he had, building tents, and he would supply his needs that way when churches were not available. And so to be busy in the work of the Lord and to be busy in the things of God is so very important. And Titus was a busy individual. Paul come to a place and he couldn't even find him because he was out somewhere else and doing those things. And Paul said, I had no rest in my spirit because of that. And so here we find that Titus was an individual that was always doing what needed to be done. I believe God looks and desires and wants us to be that kind of person, that we'd be busy in God's work. And sometimes we think, well, I've got this to do, I've got that to do, there's something else I've got to do, I just don't have time. Well, we find, I have found personally in my life that I find time to do what I want to do. It doesn't matter when it is. If I want to do it, then I'll find time. It may not be when I particularly would want to, but there's time in the day to do certain things that we in our flesh, not necessarily wrong things, but things that we just want to do, we end up finding time to do that. And I believe we can end up finding time to serve the Lord the same way and follow Him. And so Titus was an encouragement to the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter number 7, verse number 6. He says, nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of, and there's this young man's name again, by the coming of Titus. If you read 2 Corinthians, you'll find that Paul had a busy schedule, and he said, when we needed comforted, when we're cast down, then came Titus. Titus was there as an encourager. He was there as a helper. He was there as a person that would guide and give rest and comfort to the person that was called the Apostle Paul. Paul being busy, Paul being a servant of God, running to and fro, and as we as we traveled with him through the Scripture those weeks on that first, second, and third missionary journey. The Apostle Paul covered a lot of miles, and he didn't have cars. He didn't have what we have, but he covered the miles and traveled, and he was very busy. And Paul said, nevertheless, God that comforted those that are cast down comforted us. So there's a time when Paul needed comfort from God, and God sent to him this man by the name of Titus. Sent to him this young preacher as Paul was ministering, as Paul was preaching, as Paul was traveling, and he needed a servant of the Lord. He needed the comfort of God. He says, we are comforted by the coming of Titus. And so here we find not only is he busy, he's an encourager. He's one that lifts you up. He's one that helps you. And no wonder Paul writes to this preacher as he is in his latter years, getting ready to depart, as he finds things coming to an end. No wonder he writes to him and encourages him to do what he's always done. Paul knew his life pretty well. Paul knew his ways, and he was understood that he was busy. He understood that he encouraged at those times. When Titus came to him, not only did he encourage Paul, but he encouraged Titus was encouraged by others. And so he had that encouragement also, says in verse 13 of that same chapter of 2 Corinthians. It says, therefore we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceeding the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, and he said, Titus encouraged us, and you encouraged Titus. And I'll tell you what, it's very important that we encourage one another. It's very important that we have times that we can just call a brother or a sister aside and just be an encouragement to them and to be a help to them and to be someone that would be used of God, that would be put in the place of making someone have joy. And so Paul says, we were comforted by the comfort of the Corinthians, and we had joy, for we joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you. And there are just a few verses there in between 2 Corinthians 7:6 and 7:13. And so Paul is telling the Corinthian church, he is encouraging this Corinthian church. He said, he came and comforted us, but you comforted him first, and therefore we were comforted by you also. And so it's a family affair that we have, that we rejoice in the Lord, that we serve together, that we encourage one another. I'll tell you what, you turn on the news tonight, it's not too encouraging. You listen to the headline news, it's not too good. You listen to Fox, and it's not good. You listen to the local news, it's not good. You read the local paper, there's things in it that are very discouraging. There are things that come up that we don't understand why, and there's people that do things and people that say things, and there's actions that are taken that we do not understand. We would maybe never think that it would happen, and that's a very discouraging world that we live in. But thank God I can be encouraged because of you, and you can be encouraged because of me. And it's all because we, as David said, we encourage ourselves in the Lord. And so the encouragement is so very worthy of Titus, and that he was busy serving his master. 2 Corinthians 8:6. Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Paul says here, I just desired that Titus be with me. Why? He was consistent. He says here, but that as he hath begun, so he would also finish. He began a work, he began to do something, and Titus was an individual that would finish the job. He didn't leave it half done. He didn't leave it alone. He didn't go so far and quit. He wasn't like Demas, having loved this present world, has forsaken Paul. And Paul had Demas to do that to him, but Titus was one that Paul said, I desired Titus because I knew that if he started something, he would finish it. And he's again talking to the church of Corinth, and boy, they had a lot of problems. They had a lot of difficulties. They had a lot of morality problems. They had a lot of spiritual problems. And Paul says here, therefore we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so would he finish in you the same grace also. Paul is trying to get Corinth up to a level spiritually that they could be used of God. And he says, Titus is a man that can come and help you. He'll begin and he'll finish the work in you in Christ, and you'll be what you should be. And so we find that Paul had a pretty high regard to this young man called Titus. He understood he was more mature than his age would indicate. Maybe he was more level-headed than maybe some of the others. And he says, I desired Titus because I knew that he could set things right. No wonder he told Titus here in his book, he said, I left you at Crete with these instructions that you take care of those things that were lacking, those things that were wanting. Set it right, set it straight. Why did Paul tell Titus to do that? Because he'd already been with him and he had done that at Corinth and helped him to serve the Lord. And so Titus was an important character in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians 8:16, chapter 7 and 8 of 2 Corinthians has a lot about Titus. It says, but thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. Titus cared for Corinth. Titus had a desire that only God could give him. And really, Paul is dealing with what we would call maybe a pastor's heart. Paul said, thanks be to God that he put the earnest care, the same earnest care. What's he comparing it to, the same? Talking about himself. Paul says, that Titus cares about you as much as I do. He wants good for Corinth just as I do. And said, so therefore, thanks be unto God for the earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. God had put within Titus the heart and the desire that he loved the people. And to love people, you got to love God first, because people sometimes will fail you. People will go the wrong direction. They'll not do what you think needs to be done. But I'm glad to thank God he always is faithful. The Lord is faithful. Titus was just a busy individual. In 2 Corinthians 8 again, verse 23, whether any do inquire of Titus, notice what Paul says. He is my partner and my fellow helper concerning you. Or our brethren be inquired of, they are messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. Titus, he's a fellow helper. Paul says he's my partner. Wouldn't that be great to be called the partner of the Apostle Paul? I mean, that's pretty high classification. Titus was a young man that Paul said, he's my helper. He's my fellow helper. He's my partner. And he says he's interested in you, Corinth. He's interested in what goes on in that church, in that wicked city called Corinth. Read the first 4, 5, 6 chapters of 1 Corinthians. You'll find what kind of condition that church was in. And when Paul got there, he said, I'm going to set some things, I'm going to set them straight. They had faltered. They'd failed. They had false doctrine, immorality. Everything that could be wrong was wrong in the church of Corinth. It is beside my... I can't imagine why a church would be in the 20th century be called a Corinth church. Because that's not a very good example. I know there's some Corinths around. They take this because it's a term. But when you take what it is, Corinth had a lot of problems. And Paul said, Titus is my partner, my fellow helper concerning you, Corinth. He said, I want you to know he cares about you. 2 Corinthians 12:18, he said, I desire Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walk we not in the same spirit? Walk we not in the same steps? Paul says to the church of Corinth, did Titus take advantage of you? That's really what he's saying. Did he take advantage of you? Did he get gain of you? Well, no. And so he is recommending, and he is talking about the way that Titus dealt with things. Really, he just was what we would call an old-fashioned Bible preacher that loved people, loved God, loved the church, and did what he could to help them. And so some of them may be kicked against that. And Paul said, I sent a brother to you, Titus. I desired him, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make gain of you? Did he take advantage of you? Sometimes it's good to ask questions. Did he treat you wrong? And he says, did he not walk in the same spirit? Was he not in the same spirit as the Apostle Paul? Of course, Paul knew that he was. Did we not walk the same steps? And so Paul is admonishing the church of Corinth to listen to what Titus says, because he's telling truth. And so it has a great ministry. And in Titus chapter 1, verse number 4, I believe we find he has a great testimony of salvation. And that maybe should have been the first point, because that's why all these other things work the way they work. Titus was a godly man. Titus was a Christian. He says, Paul, the servant of God, and you can leave out all those other things there and jump to verse 4, to Titus. And then he describes Titus. Mine own son, after the common faith. Now, we know what the common faith is. It's saving faith. And so he is writing to Titus, and he says, you're my son after the faith. That common faith of the gospel. The death, the burial, the resurrection, and all the other things that go along with the message of Jesus Christ. Titus was that individual. He says, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so he is admonishing Titus. He said, I'm writing you because you have common faith. I'm writing you because I know who you are. I'm writing you to set these things straight because I know that when you start it, you'll finish it. So all these verses in Corinthians tell us much about this man, Titus, as he went with Paul and as Paul would find him in other places. And then now he writes to him and gives him instruction in this last pastoral epistle how to deal with certain problems, things that are lacking, wanting. What is it? The book of Daniel, handwriting on the wall, you're found wanting. You've been weighed in the balance and you're found wanting. That means it wasn't heavy enough. And the scales, the balance scales, and when God put the scales out to there in Daniel, and as he looked upon that ungodly, wicked place, he wrote on the side of the wall, "Thou art found wanting." That means one side's a lot heavier than the other. You're just in need of balancing it out. Same word is used here in this passage, that thou should set in order the things that are wanting. Light. Not right. Not heavy enough. And so, you're my son in the faith. You're my son in the gospel. So therefore, before I die, Titus, I want you to take care of these things and the churches on the island of Crete. Just a little small island. But where there's churches there, it's important that they are correct. It's important in our country that churches are correct. And I really believe the reason we have so many difficulties, so many problems in our country is because our churches are found wanting. I'm not talking about the liberals. They're always wanting. They're always light. I'm talking about churches that ought to stand for God, churches that ought to be right, churches that have done right and have served God. We need a Paul and we need a Titus maybe to come and set things in order. That's the problem. And Corinth sort of kicked against Titus. Paul said, "Did he make gain of you? Did he not walk as I walk? Did he not do what I do? Was he wrong?" And so sometimes we don't want the encouragement from the Lord. Sometimes we don't want the correction from the Lord. And we kick against it. It's always good for us. And so may the Lord help us to be a Titus, to help make things right, help make things found not wanting, but found right in the work of the Lord, that our church would go forward, that we would stand true in the things of God. All right, let's stand together.